Sadly, lives
dozens falling ill with a mysterious virus that would ultimately change
the way their temperatures jump from moment in history.
The coronavirus presents a public health emergency.
The COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way we live globally. And for our mob, it's changed the way we live culturally. Colonisation has taught us some tough lessons. We are more susceptible to chronic diseases of the Western world, with diseases having devastating impacts on Aboriginal people. Vaccination is not a new topic for us, but COVID-19 is. The COVID-19 vaccination discussion has been one that has caused much division in our communities. This is the Make the Choice podcast.
Okie dokie, hello and welcome to the podcast. As the borders open up here in Queensland from New South Wales, the Delta variant poses a real threat to our Aboriginal communities, and that is around December 17, they are set to open. At the moment, we're talking to blackfellas all around the state of Queensland to find out the COVID story in their area, how the vaccination rates are going, what the hesitancy is, and just talk to you from your local area. And today I have Auntie Cheryl Lawton with me, a bit of a legend out your way. First up, Auntie, can you introduce yourself, who your mob is and where you're from, please?
Hi, I'm Cheryl Lawton, CEO of QuadSIC, Charleville Western Areas Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Community Health. I'm a Bidjara traditional owner, and I also have links through to the Ngawagi mob through my mother's and grandmother's side, the Torres Strait Islander and South Bay mob.
No, beautiful and beautiful country out there too, aren't out there at Charleville and all that sort of area. I come from Moree in Western New South Wales, so it's pretty much straight up the road a few hours from me.
We've had some good rain and it's just looking beautiful and green out here.
I can't wait to get out west. Now, Aunt, today we're talking about COVID-19, vaccine hesitancy for Aboriginal communities and our mob, and you know some of the issues around that. First up, can you just tell us a bit about your country, Bidjara country, and sort of the COVID story out there for the last couple of years?
Well, QuadSIC takes in the area. We have our main office in Charleville. We have our next big office is Roma, and then we have our outreach in Mitchell and Quilpie. And within those areas, we've had some good rates of vaccination uptake. But then in some of the, like Roma, for instance, we don't have... didn't have a good uptake. We haven't had so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's improving.
Why do you think there's some good vaccination rates in some areas and it's really poor in the others? What are the mob telling you?
Well, I think for Roma, a lot of people on social media listening to a lot of social media hype and my response to that would be like if you break your leg, where do you go? You go and see your doctor, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you listen to people on social media? They're not a doctor. They're not a qualified GP. You go to your GP to get your best advice, and that's who you should be talking to if you've got concerns about being vaccinated. Go and see your GP.
Yeah, it's a real common issue, isn't it? Like this whole social media sort of, and the narrative around that this isn't real and blackfellas don't get it and... You know, the vaccines are, not proper for us and all that. But I was speaking to Dr. Mark Wenatong this morning. He actually studied the vaccine himself. And he's really happy with the progress and what it's been doing for our people. But that threat of social media and all that misinformation is a real, real problem, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, and what do you say to that? Like, how do we get to our mob listening to actual black health professionals and talking to their AMSs, their GPs, educated mob and getting them away from that Facebook and that social media where there seems to be a lot of, misinformation.
Well, as I said, you need to talk to your doctor. They're the professionals. They're the ones, that says that they give you the facts. The people on social media don't know the facts. They're not a professional by trade. They're only a social media professional, I believe. And they don't know the facts. Why would you trust people that are not qualified to talk? A lot of some of that stuff they show you on social media about the vaccine is all Photoshop. I understand. I'm not even on Facebook. But, you can Photoshop these things now and they're obviously not facts.
No, that's right. There's a lot of misinformation there, and actually a lot of those the misinformation around COVID-19 and the vaccine are created by right-wing groups, which is really sad when our people share it, because you're sharing content from racists. And you know, we had a chat about this on another podcast around this sort of issue, around the misinformation that's been spreading from right-wing groups, and unfortunately our mob have been buying into it and sharing it as well.
That's right. You know, if we talk about racism, it plays a big part, and they're listening to people that are sprouting racism. So it's a bit of a hypocritical factor for me. But, you know, the main thing is, stop being a hypocrite. If they believe that there's something in the vaccine that is going to be detrimental to your body, how about all the alcohol and the drugs that people take that are killing us, our people, over a long period of time? They're more detrimental than a vaccine that is going to minimise your risk of getting COVID.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, yeah, I see a lot of people out there sort of, you know, they're distrusting the vaccine, but yeah, when it comes to alcohol and other things, it's readily ingested. what are the local mob out there on country telling you? Like, when we talk about vaccine hesitancy, are they talking, you know, is it just common issues like, I'm just scared of needles, or I just want to wait and see what happens, I distrust the government? But that's some of the stuff that we're hearing from other regions as well.
That's true. And look, some people are saying also, oh, you know, that's not my religion. What religion are we? I thought we believed in our ancestors and our culture.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, so why are you saying that that your religion is stopping you from getting vaccinated? So a lot of those things, and as I said, some people couldn't even be bothered, but it's up to everyone, to each family group, to influence and say to the family, well, if you can't, in Charleville alone, we've got signs that a community member, one of our elders, come up with. No jab, no entry.
Yep.
The sign on her gate. If you're not vaccinated, don't come into my house, because you could give me COVID.
No, and that's very real. And, you know, that's what a lot of us younger fellows have been talking about, protecting our elders in our communities. And we've always done that ever since way before 1788, taking risks to protect our community. And I think in this case, it's very much so. And, you know, I come from Moree, and it's the same out there. People have said, you know, if you're not vaccinated, don't come home. And so for us, in order for us to see our elders and our families, and we've got COVID-19 in our community at this very moment, which isn't too far from the border, Queensland. You know,
we've got one case in Gundawindi announced today.
Yes, that's right.
We've got to think about that.
That's right, Aunt, because you've got Gundawindi, you head up to Texas and St George and up into the back country there, and it will spread like wildfire.
And, you know, the modelling suggests that once it gets into our communities, because the South, we've got we're an ageing population, we've got multiple complex chronic disease, we're more likely to get COVID or the Delta strain, and it's going to affect our health. Majority of us won't survive it. And we're going to see a lot of social emotion wellbeing issues with grief and loss. It's a very serious thing to think about. You know, even though Southwest, we're in a better position than most regions where we've got our vaccination rates are increasing, there is still a percentage out there that is not responding to getting vaccinated. Now, you know, QuadSig as an Aboriginal health service, we've offered $50 food vouchers for the first jab and a $50 food voucher for the second to, you know, help your family out plans. Because one of the things we really got to consider is, what are your plans when COVID comes to your household?
Yes, that's very
important. You've got chronic disease people living there with you. You've got elders, you know?
Yep, that's a really important message, that one, Aunt. And Dr. Mark Wenatong spoke about it on another podcast, is having a COVID plan for your family. Because once it comes to your doorstep in your community, you won't be able to go to the shops like you were. You won't be able to go shopping. You'll be isolated, and this is happening out at Dubbo, out at Moree, Angonia, Wilcannia, all these Western New South Wales communities, and we're saying this is going to happen to you fellas up here in the right now, like in the next week or two when the border opens. So the COVID family plans are so important to develop and to talk about amongst your community.
That's right. And, you know, COVID plans, family planning, is how you're going to protect your family of COVID. Who's going to cook your kids' meals? Who's going to look after you when you're so sick that you can't get out of bed? Who is going to wash, do all the washing to make sure we got we're hygienic and you know, eliminating this COVID strain in your household? These are things. Who's going to buy your food? Because no one's going to come to your house. But if you're on medication, have you got enough medication? Where are your scripts? Like, there are a lot of things to be thinking about when you're planning, because COVID will come and hit your household. But how are you going to do, follow and look after your, look after your children, look after your family if they're in that household with you?
Yep, and that's right. And the further we go out west and up north, the health infrastructure gets less and less. So it's even harder to get access to healthcare and medicine and shops and all this sort of thing, isn't it?
Yep. Well, you have, you know, you've got to consider about the plan. Have you got enough credit on your phone to ring telehealth to have a doctor's appointment or support services from your local AMS, you know? So a lot of things, factors to consider in your planning for when COVID comes to your house.
Yeah, and it is real. And, yeah, but I think this, you know, because Queensland hasn't really had the COVID experience that we've seen down at New South Wales and Victoria, I still think, you know, people are just sort of waiting to see what happens. But I just encourage Queensland people who are listening to look over the border, just only a couple of kilometres into our communities in Western New South Wales, to see just how bad it is and just how much it wreaks havoc and polarises our community. Like, yeah, the Walgett experience is really bad in Wilcannia, because they're all living in camper vans spread out to isolate. Yeah. And you know, they couldn't see family. And it's even horrible when, you know, funerals happen, you can't go. And so, yeah, just, yeah, please look over the border, Queensland.
That's right. And, you know, we got to think about the fact, don't wait till the last minute, because the first vaccine won't be effective because it's too late. COVID's already in your community, you know, in your town, in your house. It's too late to have the vaccine.
Yeah.
That's what you got to think about, because you got to wait, you know, your first vaccine, then you got to wait 3-4 weeks, then you get your second one, then, you know, you'd wait a bit after that for it to take effect.
Yes, right.
But don't forget, we are going to get COVID, but having the vaccine will eliminate our risk of getting sicker. That's all I can say. Well, I'm not going to say that we're not going to get it. We are going to get COVID, but it'll minimise our risk being vaccinated against it to a degree that we're not going to get. We're not going to end up in ICU. We're not going to hopefully die.
No, that's right. I mean, and I just want to touch on a point that you said earlier. Don't wait till the last minute. And, you know, unfortunately, some of them do wait till the last minute, you know. But how do we get this message into them? Like, don't wait till the last minute. Like, get out there and get this stuff done. Like, get vaxxed. Like, get your COVID family plan happening. Like, get prepared.
Well, we just need everyone that comes in contact with each other. And when you see your mob, say, are you vaccinated? If not, go and get vaccinated. If you're not going to, otherwise, don't come socialising with us. Like, make a hard call.
Yeah,
so that our mob starts getting vaccinated.
Yeah, well, some hard calls are going to have to be made, because lives will be lost, and we've seen that happen elsewhere. So, yeah, definitely, you know, talk to your families and yeah, develop those plans and those vaccinations and get those rates up, Queensland, please. What else out your way, Aunt, particularly talking around your country, the COVID story? Is there something you'd direct, when talking, giving advice and whatnot, is there something that you'd like to directly say to your mob in terms of arming them with information, education, to get prepared for this?
Well, our officers at Quatsic, at the four sites, Mitchell, Roma, Charleville and Quilpie, mm-hmm. They're all open. We're there to give you good, sound advice from our GP. We can set you up at telehealth if you don't want to talk to a health practitioner. We can set you up with our GPs to talk you through any issues or concerns you have around vaccination. And we will be vaccinating at our Charleville clinic. And I must say that it's going to come to a point where myself as the CEO, by mid-November, before even they open the borders, if people are not vaccinated, once they've been offered, they might not get an appointment with our Quatsic GP. That's how serious it will be. And it'll be a hard decision that I will have to call on the community so that they get vaccinated.
Yeah, and that's frontline stuff, you know. It's amazing, you know, the risk that our health workers are under and will be under as the Delta sort of creeps north. All our black health workers will be on the front line with this, and once it comes, it's going to be so hard for them to be able to do their job properly and be able to give the services that they have been previously. Is that right?
Yes. We're all vaccinated. I must say, all Quatsic staff, and I'm very proud of them that they've all become vaccinated.
Well, that's great, because I'll tell you what, Queensland Health could follow in that step, because they lost 4,000 employees the other night.
we're fully vaccinated all our in Quatsic. However, we're still an ageing workforce,
yep,
and we still got our own chronic disease. If someone brings the COVID to the offices, I've got to shut down. Where does it leave the rest of the community? No access to a GP, and no access to our Aboriginal community control services.
Yeah, and that's critical, isn't it? That's you can't get much more critical than that. If the health service is shut down, it's going to be very hard.
Very hard. When you've got to go up to the hospital, and they'll be, overburdened too with a lot of non-Indigenous people and our mob there on, trying to access services. They'll be overwhelmed, overburdened, and we don't have a lot of GPs out west or private practice.
No, and I think, it's good for our young mob to understand that these comorbidities, and it will affect the older population much more than it will the younger population. So it's really up to these young, the 20-year-olds to the 25-year-olds to really sort of have this conversation, to mask up, to vaccinate, and to protect the elders, because these comorbidities will really affect our elders, and not only the symptoms with it, but the chronic fatigue syndrome, the longevity of COVID that happens, it's real.
It's real. I had swine flu, and I was in isolation for 3 to 5 days. And I'll tell you, it was bad. And everyone should know when they get the flu, and if they're not, we get vaccinated with the flu, but we still get the flu, and some get it worse than others. And it is a terrible feeling. Well, think about the fact that COVID is 100 times worse than the flu.
Yeah, and look, I'll be honest with you. I only found out about the swine flu yesterday. I was talking to a young fella, and he said that he had it, and he contracted it really quickly, a young black fella. And it dropped him for a month. He said he was never in so much pain, and he'd never been so sick. And that was a real Queensland sort of experience, the swine flu, because it wasn't in New South Wales that much as it was up here. So I'm hoping that people sort of remember that and look at that and learn from that experience.
I agree, Danny. I totally agree, because it's not a nice thing to happen. And, you talk about our people that have had a bad flus over the years and have ended up in hospital with ventilators.
Yep.
Or COVID. COVID is a lot worse. I've been assured by our medical profession, and I'm not a medical profession, let me tell you, but I take advice from my medical professionals, and if they say it's going to be worse, I believe them.
Yeah, no, very, very much so. And, we understand the distrust in government and Western medicine sometimes with our mob. It hasn't always been kind to us. But I also trust my black health professionals and the work that they do and the study that they do. I just don't believe there's a black person on this earth that wants to hurt another black person through medicine. And that's the case with this COVID-19. Our health workers are out there on the front line doing an amazing job getting this information out. And all the work that they do out west with your mob too, it's unbelievable work.
Yeah, I take my hat off all to our Aboriginal health staff and our GPs, and all our non-Indigenous people that work with us as well, they do an amazing job, and I agree with you, Danny. They would never hurt another Aboriginal person intentionally. They're there to help our mob live longer and close the gap in health, disparities.
Yeah. Righto then, Art. Look, I think we've covered. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we close this conversation off?
No, thank you.
Well, look,
stay safe and get vaccinated.
Yeah. Thanks. I know how busy you are, so thanks so much for your time today, and particularly speaking to your mob out west there and that story. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Art. Have a good day.
Thanks.
The Make the Choice Podcast.